One of the ways in which we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand is to give Him glory for every single thing within our lives. So last week we talked about giving Him glory, going through your life, and making sure you give Him glory for every single thing that has happened in the past, and you empty yourself out unto God on that He may exalt you in due time. But then in this particular portion, if you read it in this context here, it explains another way in which we humble ourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. So the way in which you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God is to cast all your care upon Him. One of the translations says, once and for all, you abandon all of your care at His feet and leave it there permanently, for He careth for you. Now, when He says, for He careth for you, He's saying, do this because God cares for you. In other words, without doing this, you will not experience the care that God has for you. You will not experience how much God loves you. You will not experience how much God wants to protect you. Like a hen covers the chicks there with the wings, all right, and covers her, and the chicks there experience the care of the mother. It tells us the way to experience the care of God is cast all your cares upon Him. Now, that word to care, which means, what does it mean that God cares for you? It says that to care in the Greek means to show two things, forethought and then provision. In other words, once we cast our care unto God, so that care that you have inside your heart at this moment says, cast this thing over unto me. And you will experience my provision concerning that. Most importantly, you will see that I knew about that care. There was forethought, all right, when it comes from me, that's God saying from Him now, all right, in making the provision. As somebody said, he said, when we examine our answers there, all right, to prayers, we find out that long before we ever thought of praying, God had already set in motion the answer to the prayers, such that all that happened was that He opened up our eyes to see what He had provided. So God says, you will understand my love, my forethought, and my provision. So it's like you're finding yourself in a situation now, and there are legitimate cares, and God says, cast these things. That's how you're going to see me as your provider. That's how you're going to know that I have thought about the details of your life long before. It's just like you're visiting a particular place, a country, all right, you're not familiar with the terrain there, and you are received by your hosts. And when they receive you, they give you a small gift as a hospitality package. And then you get into the room and you find out that the electrical system, which means the plugs, are completely different from the one you brought, you came with from Nigeria. And then you open the gift pack, and then you see that they've already provided for that particular thing. In other words, they knew ahead of time that you might have this issue, so they made provision for it. Then you bring out your suit from your suit bag to go for the meeting, and it's slightly rumpled. You check the gift box, and you find out there is this device that you don't have to use the pressing iron with steam. You just run it over your jacket, and it straightens everything out. And suddenly, you begin to experience, all right, people's deep consideration for the details of your life, things that you were not even considering, that you didn't know that those things will be needs when you get into that space, that your hosts have already gone ahead of you, thought in detail about it, and made provision for it. So when you see them, you say, thank you for your hospitality. Your people are great hosts. And the Bible says, God is saying that, listen, this earth belongs to me. All right, I am your host right here. You are coming into my terrain, and I want you to experience my provision. I want you to experience my kindness. All right, right there. The fact that I've considered you long ahead of your time, the details of your life, and I've made provision for those things. Then again, it is to show that long before, all right, your needs came up, right, that God had directed his mind towards you. The same way David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That God's thoughts and his mind were on you in terms of the details of your life. Now he says, in order to get into this, cast your care upon him. When you cast your care, you have committed certain things to God. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I have committed certain things. I know he is able to keep that which I have committed into his hands. What this means is that you have taken those things and you have said, God, I place it in your hands, no longer in my hands. Two things are not going to ever happen again. I am never going to come to you to pray about these things again. The second thing is that I'm not going to entertain any thought or anxious thought concerning this particular thing. All that is going to happen from now on in relation to this particular thing is the voice of thanksgiving and the voice of praise, worshiping you for your greatness and thanking you for handling this matter. Right? I will declare the things you have said concerning these things, but I'm not going to in any way come to meet you and start praying about it. Now, what this means, and this is what I want to do this morning, is that if you look at your prayer points and the things you are praying about, most of those things, all right, with Christians, fall under what is considered the cares of life. In other words, legitimate needs in this material world. What Jesus said, your Father knows that you have need of them. And he says, do not pray like the heathen, that these are the things that they are praying about. In other words, when you cast your care upon him, you take that list there of those things that daily you have been calling on God and asking God concerning these legitimate needs. All right, can you do this and do this? All right, whether it's promotion on job, finding a spouse, all right, you know, all of that. Take all of that, getting, you know, material needs, and you say, Father, this is going to be a solid act of faith and trust in you. And I'm taking a definite step of faith now. That this prayer list is hereby transferred into your hands, considered done. I commit it into your hands and I tear it up. And I'm never going to ask you concerning these things again. I'm going to praise you. I wake up in the morning and remind myself of your faithfulness, praising and thanking you for, all right, doing all of that. But I'm never going to ask you, all right, concerning it. And now that I've done this, then we ask them, what do you pray about? What's your prayer life about? And God says, now we can have real communion. Now, maybe for the first time in your Christian walk, I can now begin to talk to you about the higher things of life. I can now take you out of the trap that has held you bound all your life, praying about all these things that the Gentiles also seek after. All right, that your life consists more in what you will eat, drink, what you will wear. The life of a man doesn't consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. That if the Christian experience is just about this legitimate, material things, then there is no way you can be a witness to the world. Because there are people in the world that have that in abundance. There are people in the world that have all of that. He says, so what are you talking about? If you call Bill Gates and say, well, let me look at your prayer points. He looks at your prayer points and says, but I can answer all these prayers for you. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? He says, all these things you're asking for, I can answer these prayers here. All right? So the concept of God completely shifts. In other words, he is saying, I want you to now come into true communion. That's what I'm talking about. And when you get into communion, then God begins to speak to you about the higher things of life. Say, then what am I going to pray? All right? There are prayers that will see this, that Paul said. Fill me with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So I break into your divine intelligence concerning everything that I'm doing. It says, so that I'm fruitful in every good work. In the work that I'm doing with my hands, all right, I've entered into your intelligence. The genius of God is manifesting, all right, in my mind. The kinds of thoughts that I'm connected to, all right, the things that I'm doing in my hands reflect, all right, the mind of God. Now, if you call even the richest man in the world, and he sees the kind of ideas you are producing on the job, he looks at it and says, I've never thought about these things. These things have never crossed my mind. Even the most intelligent person says, where are you getting these ideas? Where are these thoughts coming from? And Jesus said, if you do it this way, he said, all these other things you are talking about shall be added unto you. Now, added means, that word comes from the word supplement. In other words, like a supplementary budget. So there's the main thing. All right, it's not part of the real contract. It's just what God decided to add to you. In other words, it's the same thing that happened with Solomon. Solomon prayed for one thing. He saw it. And when he asked for God, that God said, because you've asked for this and you've gotten it, he said, now let me tell you what comes with this particular package. He says, this will come. Long life will come. He says, riches will come. Honor and glory. No man will be able to live and be as wealthy as you are. So it tells us these things, all right, come, all right, with this thing. So if we go about it the right way, then there will be an addition. So what I'm talking about this morning is yet another step now into this journey where a person says, I am taking my cares and I am casting my cares upon the Lord, and getting into a place of true communion, where you walk out of this place and there are no burdens again that you are carrying. All right, those loads right there, you have transferred those things to the feet of Jesus. Then Jesus can begin to talk to you. And in implementing those things, Jesus tells you and the Holy Ghost leads you and shows you, you'll find the fulfillment of every single thing that you would have been crying, all right, and praying about. Now, if you put up Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, Ephesians 2 and verse 7, it talks about what God wants to do. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, it's like saying a father who is the wealthiest man in the world tells his children that in the ages to come, in other words, from now on, I want to show humanity the riches of my wealth through you. In other words, the extent of my wealth is not going to be seen on me. The extent of my wealth is going to be seen on you. And people are going to know how kind and how loving I am by reason of what is going on in your life. Now, why do Christians then, therefore, are praying about things over and over and over, and they are not seeing the manifestation of these legitimate things, all right, when God says, I have committed myself to showing through you the exceeding riches of my grace? The reason is that the system we are operating in is not the kingdom system. All right, God says the only way I can show how much I care for you is that you take the cares and cast them once and for all unto me and roll them over to me and leave them in my hands. Any form of human clutch, holding onto it, all right, where you continuously come and there is that, you can see your soul is troubled and you are still praying and talking about that, it says, is the blessing blocker. That's where the problem is. That word cares day of life. And that's what Jesus said. He said, the day has come on our prayers. He said, because of drunkenness and the cares of this life, the heart is overcharged with the cares of this life. The Bible speaks about the cares of this life, choking the word of God. So it becomes unfruitful. All right, cares of this life look like legitimate needs. But then, all right, God says, the way you operate with me is that you transfer these things over to me and I handle them and there's no conversation concerning it. I mean, where we're going is what God said. For example, there's a story of a man who knows the story, all right, they use it to demonstrate trust. And many people are praying, but there is no real trust in God. In fact, the prayer there, they are trying in prayer, through prayer, to produce something. So this man fell off some 10-story building and was able to grab onto the branch of a tree. While he was on that branch, he looked down and there was some great distance still between him and the ground. And he knew that if he let go, he will fall, break his bones, might lose his life. So he decided to call on God for help. And said, God, I need your help now. My father helped me in this. And God spoke back in his faithfulness and said, I love you dearly. I'm right here. Your ever-present help in a time of need. And he said, well, I thank you, Father. I knew you'd be there for me. He said, all right, this is what you're going to do for me to save you. Let go of that branch and I will catch you just before you hit the ground. And the man looked up and said, is there any other person apart from God out there? In other words, is there any other system that will work apart from this system? I cannot let go of what I'm holding on to. You have got to save me with the grip on it. Now God says, my hand cannot get involved in anything you are clutching there. Anything that you are holding in your own hand and you are trying to produce, he says, I cannot get involved. And the very things that we want the most, these cares here, because they are essential to life, are the very things that we clutch on. Now, the things that God might even want us to do, because they are not essential to everyday living. All right? We might not pay attention to those things. But this is what we're holding on to. And this is how we judge whether God has been faithful to us or whether God has not been faithful to us. I'm leading a journey here and show that it's about trusting in God and what it really means. All right? And not, all right, trying there. So God wants to demonstrate the exceeding riches in his kindness towards us. Now let's look at Luke chapter 12 and what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. Now it says in verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and yet are not one of them is forgotten by God? Now it's trying to tell us about the mind of God and who God is. That you can walk on the road there and you'll find a pigeon, all right, that maybe died, or some small bird, and people just walk past. It says it touches the heart of God. God can tell you where every bird died. He remembers those birds. He has a name by which he calls those birds. He knows everywhere they died. The cockroach, where it died. God knows exactly where it died. When the cockroach died, God knew that that thing died. It says, now this is the God who is your father that you are dealing with. And then he goes on and says, but even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Now, when he says they are numbered, now this is to tell you that God is more concerned about your legitimate needs than you are. Now, understand that. You don't love yourself more than God. You do not have the capacity to. The love that you might show for yourself is a fraction of what God has for you that He deposited on the inside of you. So God says the hairs on your head are numbered. Now, if I ask you how many hair strands are on your head, you don't know. God not only knows the number of them, when you get to the barber and he's cutting and he shaves off one part, God says number 376, 377, right through 434 is gone. He just lost those numbers. You don't have any idea what those numbers are. You cannot even tell me what the numbers are. I might even ask some of you how many shirts you have inside your... You don't know how many shirts you have. God knows how many shirts you have. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, you talk so grief about yourself, so you're trying to say, as though, you know, I'm the one, you know, I love God. And God says, listen to me, let's get this straight. All right, I have more compassion for you than you. Now, going somewhere, because, all right, we need to understand this, because there is no cow that has said that there's recession in Nigeria, I need to go to Cameroon. Are you following what I'm saying here? There is no lion, there is no cockroach that has said there is a problem in Nigeria now. You know why? Because God feeds them. He said, the reason why my own people have a problem is that they've taken themselves out of my own system because of their intellect. Now, they feel they can handle it themselves. And I'll go through the Bible. Now, I know it's going to be a tough message this morning. It was very quiet first service, very quiet second service, because it's back to Bethel. But I will preach it because it is the word of God and true Christianity, and you'll see it. All right? Now, so let's go on here. So he says, fear they're not therefore. Are you not? And I said, what I want to get you into, he says, I know fear will want to keep you out of it. You're afraid. He says, are you not more value than the sparrows? Then we get to verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat. I mean, this is essential. If you don't eat, after some time, there will be no life. What you shall drink, all right? And it says this, right? And what, neither for the body, what you shall put on. I mean, you can't go out on the streets naked. But then it says, life is more than meat. And your body much more than the clothes that you put on there. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. God feedeth them. And nobody is saying in 1975, the birds were fatter than they are in 2018. Nobody is saying that. Alright? It says, for God feedeth them, how much more? Alright, then it goes on. Are you better than the fowls? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? In other words, by worrying and being anxious about it, can you add 1 inch to your height? He said, did you pray to me when you were growing up about your growth? All right? He said, the truth about the matter is that if you started getting anxious about your growth, you would have stopped growing. Now, when you put food into it, as somebody said, everything that is vital to life, that if it stops working, God has taken away from the realm of our consciousness so that it works perfectly without fault. Your heart is beating, you don't even think about it. Now, because if you get anxious, if you start thinking of, if God put it in that realm, anxiety will stop it from functioning. You eat and digest food, which is essential to life. If you don't digest that food, you are in trouble. But you take it for granted. You don't even think about it. Now, what do you think about? Oh, I want to go to this place, and my car, and all of that. And you see that everything that you are thinking about is not really working there. But everything that he says, I've removed the here and kept it in the domain of the Spirit, he said everything has to work perfectly or there will be a serious problem, all right, with that individual. When you breathe, you don't think about it. Am I going to breathe now? You just breathe. Now, he's telling you that your life also, it should be that flow.
Thank you for listening.